Good morning, gentlemen.
Mark, are you on?
Yeah, Mark Bixby, Al Crawford, and Frank Peters were all here this morning.
Great. Thank you for joining us.
Well, that's my guest today. That's Mark Bixby. He's joined by his good friend, Alan Crawford. They're two bicycle advocates in Long Beach. And the phone call that you just heard him introduce himself to was a conversation with Caltrans and the Port of Long Beach. The subject, the Gerald Desmond Bridge, a $1 billion project coming online, the bidding process anyway, by midsummer, later this year. So I wasn't invited necessarily to the call. Mark and I had a kind of a long-term plan to get together for an interview. And we juggled the interview a couple of times. And so when Caltrans alerted him to the fact that they were ready for a conference call, it was kind of short notice. Mark didn't want to cancel the interview with me. So he said, "Frank, it'll be tight, but you've got a half an hour." Well, it was a time I didn't want to miss. And so that's what today's show is all about, preparing for the call and then the conclusion to the call. And you're listening to CDM Cyclist, and I'm your host, Frank Peters. Thanks for joining me on this very special show today. Delighted to bring it to you. And today, it is March 1st, 2011, a big day for cycling advocates in the Southland. The city of Los Angeles brought its comprehensive bicycle plan to the LA City Council, where it was adopted unanimously this afternoon. And of course, I'm familiar with the LA bicycle plan. I've been plagiarizing it for over a year now. It's thorough and comprehensive. If you're a bicycle advocate and within the sound of my voice, you're going to want to come check that out. I've got links to it at CDM Cyclist. Their technical design guidelines are a blueprint, you could say, for every problem, every challenge you might face in your town. The city of Los Angeles has documented problems and the solutions to improving safety on city streets. Check it out. It's just fantastic. Well, I could go on and on. Mark Bixby, I credit him as I'm getting set up for really getting me in the business of doing these interviews. Some many months ago, was it 6 months ago? We knew each other. I was sending emails around talking about bicycle issues in the city of Newport Beach, and I was getting very timely responses and commentary from Mark Bixby. And then the big message came along. It had a big impact on me anyway. He suggested, "Frank, why don't you interview Charlie Gandy?" And it was like a lightning bolt. I got it. I called up Charlie. He's a very accessible guy, as you know. He's been on the show 2 or 3 times. He's going to be on again, too. That's what got me started. That's where CDM Cyclist came from, that casual suggestion. And, of course, I'm not new to interviews like this. Of course, I'm the host of the Frank Peters Show, where for over 5 years now I've done over 330 interviews in the world of early-stage investing and venture capital. And check that out, thefrankpetersshow.com. Well, I digress. Let me set the stage once again for you. I've got 30 minutes to conduct this interview with Mark and Alan. The clock is ticking, and it's a hard stop at 10:30. Mark, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. You brought your friend Alan. What's the relationship?
I guess the commonality is we both cycle and love cycling.
In part, it's also a relationship with our city manager, Pat West. Pat, several years ago, really had the vision of making Long Beach the most bicycle-friendly city in the U.S., really the most bicycle-friendly urban city in the U.S., if you will. And I'd ridden with Pat for several years, and Mark knew Pat through a variety of associations. So he brought us together.
Yeah, Pat really did. He talked to us And he said, you know, I'm maneuvering some guys within city departments, and when I get them in place, I want to bring together a bicycle cabinet, if you will. Fortunately, he had the backing of our city council. Suja Lowenthal was really one of the very influential council members who has been drank the Kool-Aid, you know, 5-6 years ago and longer, and said, we got to do this. And so Pat had, you know, political cover and support to really get the bicycle-friendly movement rolling in Long Beach.
That's what's required, too, I hear, everywhere I go. You got to have that commitment from the top.
Absolutely. And the city council has really stepped up in the last several years, and they provided the ability for staff to go out and raise money. And we have a grant writer, Sumi Gant, who has raised over 20, I believe it's 22 million now, Al.
She has been the driving force, clearly, behind everything we've done because she's brought the money to the table.
She's paid for herself a few times over.
Several times.
Many, many
over.
Times over.
Well, and it's one of those grants that she helped write that brought Charlie Gandy into Long Beach 2 years ago, and also some foresight from another important partner of ours, Andrea White-Cuse, who is one of the executives at Bike Station that helped also foster this movement for bike-friendly in Long Beach.
So you had a lot of key ingredients there, Bike Station, Charlie Gandy, money coming together. Does it ever get easier? Is it always a challenge, new issues to address, or are you feeling some real, like, tailwinds?
I think there's a little bit of both. Because political will is so important, and because an alignment between the politicians and the city staff is so important, if that falls apart, everything we can have done so far can really come to naught.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always looking forward, saying, how do we make sure that we maintain that alignment? But at the same time, we now have so many things that we can point backwards to and say, look at the success of this. Look how well this worked. And we've got the metrics and the data to demonstrate what a successful program means to the community. So yes, we have tailwinds that are helping us accelerate forward, but at the same time, we're always looking down the road saying, you know, there are potential barriers, and if we're not always looking forward, it could really derail mm-hmm. us.
And a great attitude of experimentation is way I hear it too. Sharrow's in Belmont Shore, now you're redesigning streets on Broadway. That sets an example, a tone. You sense that other cities looking up to Long Beach? You get a sense of that.
Oh yeah. And in fact, when we were going before the Coastal Commission in regards to the Gerald Desmond Bridge project, two of the commissioners at that meeting happened to be mayors of their cities, and one a vice mayor, and they both commented, you know, we're looking to Long Beach as the example here, and we've got these great programs. They are experimental, and that's by nature and the way Caltrans and national, you know, DOT rolls things out. They try them out. They get input. They evaluate them. They measure traffic flow before and after and bicyclist use before and after. And then they take a hard look at it and say, is this a good thing that we should implement on a permanent basis? And so we are experimenting with a number of things. And rolling out more painted bike lanes and now educating. And so we feel there's a lot of momentum. I don't think they're tailwinds so much yet, but we feel like we're making forward progress. We think we've got momentum regarding this Gerald Desmond Bridge project. And so we're feeling good, but we know it's a long uphill struggle. And we know that other communities like Portland took, you know, almost 20 years to really get their movement going. And fortunately, we can look to these other cities that have been successful rolling out programs like Milwaukee, New York, San Francisco, Davis, and then internationally, London, Paris, you know, Amsterdam, Copenhagen, you know, just city after city that have got the big picture. They realize that bicycling is about creating livable communities, creating healthy communities. So we know we're part of a bigger movement. We know there's some local politicians who don't see the bigger picture, and our job is to help educate them.
Yeah, well, education, yeah, I can see that. Now, Mark, you're in the real estate business.
I am. I do commercial real estate brokerage. And
does this all tie together? I mean, a more livable community is good business for you? Doesn't hurt.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things we emphasize on these programs, both of which are being implemented in business districts. The Second Street Sheroes is in the Belmont Shore Business Association area, and certainly there was feedback and concern as it was being rolled out, and there's still some doubters and folks that aren't happy with it. But we think in general the response has been a good public education, and that's really all sheroes are. They're pointing out that there are existing rights that cyclists have and that motorists need to pay attention and respect those rights and not squish cyclists into the gutter or into the door strike zone. And then the second major project is the Broadway and Third that you mentioned, the dedicated bikeways. And that's also in the downtown Long Beach Associates area and business district. And there were concerns about taking away parking and about ingress-egress from alleyways and all are legitimate concerns. But what these things do in business districts is they slow down traffic. Now, to motorists, that's a problem. But to business owners and people who live in the communities, it's a real benefit in that you feel safer. As you're driving by, you learn what businesses are in the district, and you may go shop there, and it creates a more livable area.
How do you deal with the voices that express concern about alleyways and taking away parking? How do you handle? What's a political savvy way to deal with that?
There's a couple of ways we deal with that, Frank. One is Mark was talking earlier, looking at other communities. What have other communities done successfully? Portland and Davis and Minneapolis. And of course, one that we're really looking at now is New York City.
Right,
it's kind of like, if New York can do it, Long Beach can do it. You know, one of the things that we tell about Long Beach is that we're big enough to make a difference, yet small enough to make rapid change. So we can look at what a city like New York City has done. And we can say, wow, we can put that in place very, very quickly because we've got the political will and we've got the backing of our city staff.
And you've got a grid doing things downtown.
A nice grid.
You got a nice grid.
We absolutely yeah. And we've got the right climate for it, political yeah. climate as well
yeah,
as the weather.
Flat.
And we're
too.
Flat.
A lot of flat.
Exactly right. So where could it be better to cycle than a place like Long Beach?
Well, the clock's still ticking, but all of a sudden I've got technical difficulties. I've got a error on my little portable recorder. It just stopped recording and I can't get it started again. But earlier this morning, as I was preparing for this interview, such an occasion occurred to me. And I've got a new camera and a new audio recorder, and I used the SD chips. My old setup used Compact Flash. So I reached for the camera with the matching SD card, and I'm glad I did. I had to switch chips in the middle of this interview, and then for good measure, reformat the card, watching the clock tick down. I think everybody was a little nervous, but, well, here we go. All right, so I'm talking to Mark Bixby and Alan Crawford. We're talking about the sea change. That's occurring in Southern California. A lot of it started in Long Beach. Open up the Los Angeles Times today. There's an exciting story. Los Angeles has got a complete bicycle plan. They've worked on it for years. They're hoping to get it approved and signed off in just a matter of days. So it seems like things are really changing.
Huh? Well, and one of the things that we're excited to see on the Los Angeles Bike Master Plan is that they have a proposed route across the Vincent Thomas Bridge, which very importantly is step two in our process of connecting downtown Long Beach to Terminal Island on the Gerald Desmond replacement bridge project. So that's one of our arguments to Caltrans and to the Port of Long Beach that yes, you should, not only are you required to under multiple statutes and laws, but you should be putting bicycle and pedestrian and separated bicycle and pedestrian paths on the Gerald Desmond Bridge and tying it out to the base of the Vincent Thomas Bridge, because once it's on the master plan, there will be efforts to find funding. And once there's a commitment from Long Beach, Port of Long Beach, to build this bridge, there is a way to connect the coastal trail, the Pacific Coast cycle route, and it makes a lot of sense from a regional connection standpoint. We will directly connect to Los Angeles via Terminal Island.
You're ahead of this the plans aren't set in stone yet for the bridge?
The Gerald Desmond Bridge, no. The port will tell you that they're only at 25% design plans. They are planning a design build bid project that is different than their normal method. In this case, they put this RFQ out, and then the RFP will come out shortly thereafter. But basically, they'll have four, five, or six of the world's best bridge building companies competing for business. And we hope that a requirement is mandated that include a separated bicycle and pedestrian facility. And we think that in that bidding process, they will find the most cost-effective way to include it. And our position all along has been, this isn't optional, guys. This is mandatory. There are laws and statutes, you know, that we could cite, and we have.
Why don't they get there? Why do you have to repeat that to them?
You know, earlier you asked about headwinds. And I think we still see some agencies such as Caltrans, such as the port, that really haven't quite, Mark used the word earlier, drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
The Gerald Desmond Bridge is supposed to be a 100-year project, 100-year lifespan. And so we say, well, you know, what's transportation going to look like 10 years from now? What's the port going to look like 25 years from now? Much less 100 years from now. And they're going, no, no, we've got to have these big trucks, and trucks and bikes don't mix very well. We're saying, take a long view. Take a view where you start to say, cycling is going to be the transportation mode, a major transportation mode of the future. You've got 6,000 people that work on Terminal Island today. A lot of those people today want to cycle into that area. What's it going to look like 10 years from now, 15 years from now? So we think they're taking a very, very short-sighted view of not grasping this opportunity to make a major change in how people commute and what they do in the area of the port.
We've talked about advocacy and how you make things happen. Besides just being a squeaky wheel, what's working? What's effective with Caltrans?
That's a good question. In fact, we're having a teleconference with Caltrans pretty shortly.
Right, 7 minutes.
To discuss that issue. I think what works is all of these movements and the advice we've gotten from League of American Bicyclists and other folks we've consulted with is you have to develop a grassroots support system. But then you have to go research and understand the law and the regulations and the organizations and the bureaucracies that you're going up against. And you have to put on political pressure. So we have talked to each of the five harbor commissioners individually. We think we have some momentum there, and we will be hopefully going before those folks in the next couple of weeks to put a mandatory requirement out there that they include bike and ped. At the same time, we've been talking with Caltrans, trying to explain our concerns. And the good news is that there have been folks on the Caltrans DOT Bicycle Advisory Commission for 9 years saying this is the right thing to do. People within the city of Los Angeles on their bicycle team saying you should put bike and pedestrian on this bridge so we can connect from our side when we do it. There have been discussions 5, 6, 7 years at that level saying you should have bike and pedestrian on this bridge that Caltrans and the port had chosen to ignore all the way through the EIR process last spring.
You can attack it from two different perspectives. One is the facts. I mean, by law, they're required to do it. We do have 6,000 people that want to, you know, a lot of them want to commute. We have 1,200 boat slips on the north side of Terminal Island. But the other is the emotional connection. And when I said earlier, you know, this is going to be a 100-year project, your eyes went, whoa, 100-year project.
Right.
And so you make a factual connection. You say, here are the things. Here's all the logical arguments. And then you go for the gut as well. And you say, but here's the emotional reason to do it. Here, it's the right thing to do for these reasons. You know, think of the view from the top of the bridge. This is going to be an iconic structure that's going to last 100 years. Don't you want to have bike and ped facilities? Isn't it the right thing to do to have bike and ped facilities? So it's opening up that bringing everyone into that common tent and having them feel those connections.
I think we have two of the really strong arguments. One of them is that if you look at the funding, who's actually paying for this project? It's the taxpayers of California and taxpayers, federal income taxpayers. It's a $950 million project. The port is putting forward $114 million is their commitment and any cost overruns. Caltrans or California taxpayers are on the hook for somewhere around $550 million and federal taxpayers for another $200-something million. So you and I, Frank, and Al, and all of the folks listening are paying for this bridge. Our argument is we should have bike and pedestrian access so we can actually enjoy the bridge we're paying for. I think the other strong argument is the California Coastal Act, which is enforced by the California Coastal Commission. And fortunately for us, they are the final permitting authority in this game that we're playing. And we have a very clear commitment from not only their executive director, Peter Douglas, and their local staff, but also very clear statements from the commissioners. And Al and Andrea and I and several other bicycle advocates have testified several times now in front of the commission, and we have their strong support saying this must include not only in the design but in the construction of the project bicycle and pedestrian lanes. And so we don't like to say we know we have that in our back pocket, but I don't know how they're going to overcome that 3-6 months down the road when they want a permit and they go before the Coastal Commission and it's appealed. I don't know how they get around
that. So they'll
be
smart if they listen to you. Mark, how about this? Are we going to get some like long-term dividends from this work you're doing with Caltrans? And I mean, I'm thinking of Coast Highway. It runs all the way down the coast. We've got bicycles out there all the time. In some places, like just north of the city of Long Beach and in many places towards my neighborhood, it's terrible for cyclists.
Absolutely. The long-term plan is we want to work with Caltrans closely, with our Bikeable Communities group, with every city, and have a relationship where we can address bicycle safety and bicycle concern, and we can connect every city up and down the coast and inland too eventually. But we can make this connection where it's a safe ride for families, for competitive cyclists, for recreational cyclists, and make a difference. So we want to have a good relationship with Caltrans. We don't want to fight the port. We don't want to fight Caltrans. But if we don't fight for bicyclists, right, if we don't stand up and speak with a common voice, with a logical, common sense, fair voice, then we won't get what we're asking for.
Well, very well said. And I know we keep watching the clock. You've got a phone call in just a couple of minutes. What's the purpose of the phone call today?
I think it's to put our cards on the table with the area director of Caltrans and the 710 corridor manager and say, here's where we are. Here's what we're asking for. We think it's fair. It's logical. We think it's legal. What are you going to do? Are you going to step up and honor that commitment? Are you going to honor the intent of the laws of DDR 64, of all the different statutes in place that give bicyclists and pedestrians a fair chance? Or are you just going to let it slide and meet some interesting situation several months down the road?
Well, I guess it's a positive in that they're willing to sit down and talk with you. That's a step in the right direction, huh?
I think one of the things we've seen, Frank, is that the regulators really have been willing to sit down with us. The politicians really have been sitting. Their doors are open. They're interested in hearing. There's clearly monetary concerns. But we've been really, really impressed with the connections we've been able to make with the various regulators and politicians.
All right. So, well, it's time to wrap up. So thank you very much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you, Frank. We appreciate you coming up.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, it's time for the call. But I'm just an observer.
Good morning, gentlemen.
I'm not going to record the call. I just record this
Mark
short
Bixby,
introduction.
Mark Bixby, Al Crawford, and Frank
kind of
Peters were all
context.
Here this morning.
Now it's after the call. How did things go? Let's get the reaction.
It's going to take a little while to sink in. It's really exciting. It's rewarding because we put a lot of time and effort into it. I think it's a testament to teamwork. This guy right here, Al Crawford, Andrea, Suja, particularly Martin Howard, sort of strategic advising. The Chris Quint, Dan Gutierrez, and a bunch of the folks who came out and testified, Brian Cox from Jack's Bikes, several other
Academy Awards.
Yeah. I got to thank my mother and my children. I love you, Ryan, Kira, Jessica. It's really
well. It is that kind of a moment. I just sat through it with you. You raised your hands in the air. It sounded like very positive.
It really did sound like a sea change in attitude. And it'd be interesting to know what actually led to that change. But I have no doubt it's been through the advocacy efforts that really Mark has championed. Looking back on this now, what was it, 6 months ago, Mark?
August,
Mark looked in the paper and said, well, they're going to build a bridge, and there is no bike facility on it. So literally in a six-month time frame, we've gone from zero awareness. An EIR was passed where there was a little bit of a conversation around a bike ped facility, but there was very little political awareness. And in that time frame, again, entirely due to Mark's efforts at this point in raising awareness, and then everyone else Mark's talked about has contributed to that.
At the end of the day, they had nowhere to go but to accommodate you, really. Huh? They had to.
Yeah, and you know what? You say that they had to meet our demands, but in reality, all it is they're agreeing to follow
their
state law and policy and their own internal guidelines,
right,
on what they should be doing. It just shows you that you have to pay attention to what these guys are doing, especially when they're playing with big dollars. And so it's very heartening to know that it worked. It's empowering. Without the internet and a couple of thousand emails, it wouldn't have happened. But the League of American Bicyclists has been an amazing resource. There's a guy named Darren Flusch that I started corresponding with. And he wrote a white paper in the meantime on bridges and how important they are and what a vital link they are in connecting communities. And they're a pinch point for bicyclists. And so this is going on all over the nation, all over the world. And it's great to know that this will be looked at as an example. And it took 10 years up in the Bay Area to get the funding together to put in the East Bay Bridge. And they had to fight for 10 years to get bikes and ped on that bridge. So, you know, we hope that window of how long does it take to make this happen goes from 10 years to 6 months down to zero, to where there's no way that a major infrastructure project gets planned without having bicycle and pedestrian access.
So they're baking it right into the design is what I heard.
Yeah, our initial win was that they said, as part of the design criteria, we will ask for a bike ped facility to be included, but they will bid it separately from the overall project.
Mm. That doesn't sound good.
No. What we heard today was very, very different from that. It is a mandatory part of the project.
Well, congratulations, gentlemen. That's a big win. Thank you for inviting me today to observe and to hear that. It's a thrilling moment.
Okay, and you can agree to delay the release of this particular podcast until such time as we have the official Caltrans statement.
My chip is acting up again, I think. I might lose the whole thing.
But we have it on video.
We have it on video.
Yeah. So, worst case, it might be a little scratchier podcast.
Actually, I wonder if it's still running. Yep. It was an hour's tape, so...
All right. Well, thank you again, Frank.
Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, well, we're back in the studio, and it's been an exciting day, huh? It's been an emotional time we've all had together. That's a big win for Bixby and Crawford and their long process of persuading Caltrans and the port to envision a future that includes bicyclists and pedestrians for the bridge. So you feel like celebrating, only it's just 11 o'clock, and Mark turns to me and says he's having lunch with Long Beach's Vice Mayor, Sucha Lowenthal. Would I like to come along and celebrate? Well, I don't want to leave either, and I'm eager to meet Sucha. So I tag along. We meet at a great little brew pub in downtown Long Beach. And I think everybody's in the mood for a cold one. And the mood turns celebratory, and we have a great discussion about the progress that everyone feels they've made. It's a great day. And a lot of fun putting this show together today. Well, until next time, I have a terrific show. It's all edited. It's all ready to go. So don't take too long before you come right back to CDM Cyclist. Hey, I'd love to hear your point of view. Leave a comment behind, please, huh? Well, thanks so much for listening, and good night.